Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk to you this morning, a subject which most people don't expect of me. They usually expect some formulae and, thermodynamics and things like that. But I'm going to talk to you about how to get fire from heaven this morning. Now, I don't belong to a certain denomination you might associate with fire from heaven, but we're going to see what God's Word says about it. And I'm going to read to you, first of all, that little story about, well, you listen to it. I won't tell you where it is, because you've got a good pastor here, and if you don't know, I shall blame him then, you see. And when Ahab saw Elijah, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it thou, thou troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab obeyed. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people, and he said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. And if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even only I, am left of the prophets of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves." These details are all important. "Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves." He was perfectly fair. He said, "You can do the choosing. I'll take what's left over. And let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it." Lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. "And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, and I will put no fire to it. And you call on the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." By interpretation, it's a deal. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull," given twice the chance, you see, to choose, "and prepare it first," because they were superstitious. They might have thought he'd chosen the wrong bull, you see. "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God and put no fire to it." Three times, put no fire to it. And they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped about the altar which they had made, and at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating," musing, "or he's gone aside," by interpretation means gone into the bathroom, "or he has gone aside, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep, and you must wake him." And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one heeded. Then Elijah said to all of them, he gave them time, you see, "Come near to me," and all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, that had been broken down. And then Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel should be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench. Note this one. And he made a trench. Very important. About the altar. As great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Now that means he took enough land to make the trench with which you could sow it with 2 measures of seed. So it was quite a big trench. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the wood in pieces, and he laid it on the wood, and he said, fill jars with water, 4 jars with water, and he put it upon, and pour it upon the burnt offering and upon the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran around about the altar and filled the trench also with water. Now that's a good way to make a fire, isn't it? Just pour 3 times 4 pitchers of water over it so the trench round about it is full. A good way to get a fire. But that's the way Elijah did it, and I want to see what that means. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, O Lord, notice this beautiful prayer. It's one of the most beautiful prayers I know. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word, including the water. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O Lord, hast turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now I'm just going to read you just 2 or 3 verses, not more. In 1 Corinthians, oh, I promised I wouldn't tell you. It's 1 Corinthians 3, 12-15. It is, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, Christ, with gold, silver and precious stones, comes something quite remarkable here, with gold, silver and precious stones, wood, hay and stubble. 2 types of things one can build on Christ, the foundation. Each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one of you has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation, Christ, survives, he will receive a reward. But if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. I just have a word of prayer. We ask thee, Lord Jesus, thou who hast made our minds to think with, we ask thee that thou mightest open our minds to understand thy mind as revealed in thy word. Amen. Now, Elijah was confronted with a situation which is quite similar to the present situation in the world, particularly in Europe, but also here. It's apostasy. You see, you take a country like England, which was the master sender of missionaries to all the world. They want missionaries themselves now because they're in a state of having fallen away from God. And Elijah had the same situation. He was confronted with the people turning to Baal and to the Asherah and forsaking the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. Now, he had a method of bringing people back. This is a message to people who knew the truth once and have turned their backs on it. What I want to examine with you this morning is his method in doing it. Now, I know method alone won't do, but method with spirit will do. Now, if we learn just how Elijah did it, we'll be able to learn how we can do it to ourselves, in ourselves, these days. What he did was, first of all, he got hold of the ringleader, and the ringleader was, of course, Ahab and his wife Jezebel. The two together made a pretty pair. And he said, first of all, we're going to get the altar put right. So he started to build the altar. Now, he asked the prophets of Baal to build their altar too. So he said, you see, we can have two kinds of altars, that of Baal and that of Jehovah. Now, he said, an altar's no good unless it has fire on it. Now, what we're going to do is prepare the altar of Jehovah, Yahweh, and then we're going to prepare your altar. You prepare it according as you think right. And I'll prepare mine alone according as I think right. And then he said, what we'll do is we'll ask God to burn it, to receive the offering that's upon it. And he said, let the God that answers with fire be the real God, and then you decide, when you see the evidence, whom you're going to serve. He didn't ask them to do anything blindly. He asked them that if you can get fire down from God, then okay, you worship Baal, I wouldn't say anything about it. But if I can and you can't, then you've got to make a decision. So you've got to watch with your five senses and see what's going on and then make your own decision. So many people think, you know, religion is blind. Well, it isn't. It's a case of very, very sharp observation. Now, he was very concerned, you see, that he knew who Baal was. He's very concerned about the false fire. It's very easy for Satan, when he sees a work of God going along, he'll start to make a false fire to attract people's attention and prove to them their ways of doing things are right. The false fire and the fire from God aren't really very difficult to distinguish. And Elijah knew that. So he was prepared. Now, let's have a look how the people of Baal set about getting fire from heaven. Well, they built their altar. There were many of them, over 400 and 450. And when they got their bull, which they chose, and sacrificed it, they collected a lot of wood and laid the whole thing together, and then they started to have a good time. They hopped about that altar. It says they limped about it. It means they hopped and danced around this altar. And when that wasn't enough, you see, if you dance and hop and are very, very active, that will produce a state of trance in a person. It's like a drug. And that is how it was done by that method. They hopped and danced and shouted, you know, turned up the volume control to maximum 10 kilowatts, you see. So the real racket going on. And poor old Elijah, he stood at a distance, I suppose, because of his ears, you see. He couldn't stand such a racket all the time. He stood at a distance and looked on. And about midday, it overcame him. He stood there and mocked. Now, I don't know, you know, it says, let your conversation be all times seasoned with salt. And I take this bit of salt about perhaps he's musing, perhaps he's gone to sleep, perhaps he's gone into the bathroom, I take that as a bit of salt to rub in a wound, you see. So when he finished that, and they couldn't produce anything, there was no answer at all, there was no fire, although plenty of activity, but no fire of God. He then called them to the altar which he'd prepared. Now I want you to look at his altar and look at their altar, and then we'll see the difference. He made his altar on a broad basis. It wasn't a sectarian matter. It was for all the 12 tribes of Israel that he made it. And then the old man, very quietly, and to get away from the noise and all the rest of it, you know, he went around the countryside. There wasn't much growing there now because they'd had no rain for a long time. And the old man started to get hold of bundles of wood. I want you to notice this. Bundles of wood. And he carried these bundles of wood back in the sun, the heat of the day, and put them on the altar, and bundles and bundles and bundles of stubble and things like that, and hay, anything to get the wood started, you see, when you make a fire. He put it all ready, and then he put his bull on the top of it and cut it up. And then he said, now, let's be quite sure we have no false fire. So he got four pitchers of water and said, pour it over the right, over the whole shooting match. So they did. You can think of those people going nearly mad at this. Because you see, there hadn't been any rain in the land for so long. You think the 3 years, 3.5 years, wasn't it? Something about that. They hadn't had any rain. And here was this old boy going to get fire from heaven by pouring water over the wood and the hay and the stubble. Excellent way of making fire. And he put round the altar, before he put the fire on it, before he put the wood on it, he put a deep trench round the altar, enough for 3 measures of corn, whatever it was, to sow it with. So he made quite a deep trench and a big trench around that altar. Now that was to show that the altar was separate. That was to show that it was holy to the Lord, and nobody dare approach that. Nobody dare approach that altar because it was separated by a moat, now filled with this precious water that he poured out to the anger of all those prophets standing round watching. Now he got the picture, you see, the old man there, alone, with a lovely wet wood and hay and stubble, all on top of this with the sacrifice at the top. And then he said, now we've got to pray. Now notice his prayer. His prayer is a beautiful one. He says, O Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He had a personal relationship to him. Now that's the first thing about any effective prayer, that on the basis of a friend and a personal relationship, you can call on the almighty friend, Yahweh, to help. So he had that first. And if you're wondering about your prayers not being answered, just ask yourself how personal that relationship is. Because if you have a personal relationship, you know, if you're going to be a real friend and not merely an acquaintance, you share secrets. And we don't hide our heart before him who knows us anyway. But he does love us to open our hearts to him so that we show our trust in him, our friendship, that he is our God with whom we have a personal relationship. That's the start of his prayer. Then the second part of his prayer is beautiful too. He says that all may know that thou art God. All he's after is the glory of God, that all may know that thou art God. Nothing more. That's enough. All you do today may be that all may know that God is our God, and he is God. That'll do. That's the basis for an answered prayer. Three, the third thing was, he says, listen, this is a beauty. This is a beautiful one for prayer. He says that thou hast answered me, that thou hast turned their hearts back, who wouldn't answer a word just now. Before it happened, because he knew that would be to God's glory, and that was God's purpose in sending him to do this job, he said, I know that thou hast answered me. I haven't seen it yet, but I know that you have answered me. And then the fourth thing is beautiful too. And he says that I all may know that I am thy servant. I have a friend in Geneva, and he was at the university with me, and he had on his door, Monsieur so-and-so, serviteur de Dieu, the servant of the Lord, had on his doorstep, on the little brass plate on his door. I thought that was very nice. And that's what Elijah wanted to have everybody know, that he was God's servant. Now listen, at that prayer, you see, I can't even talk 2 minutes about it because there isn't enough stuff in it. But that prayer was effective. You got the whole basis of the effective prayer, because it says, the fire of Jehovah fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, the dust, and the water in the trench. Consumed it. Now God's fire, let's ask ourselves first of all, because we haven't got very much time to do it, and this is most important. God's fire is like all fire, it's consuming. God's spirit is a consuming fire. That is, if the spirit is in us, God's spirit must have something to live on. It must consume something. It must burn something. You must give it fuel, and then he will work in you, but you must have the fuel. And if it's a consuming spirit, God's spirit brings fire. Spirit fell upon them. Now, if that's the case, and even the water in the trench was burnt up, when the people saw that wetted blanket of an altar with water all round it suddenly burst out in fire, well, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Not, he's my God. But the first stage was, the Lord, he is God. There is a God, and the second part, that he's my God, comes later. Now, I want you to look at this very carefully, the preparation which Elijah made for this stupendous showing of how God can make fire come down from heaven. It's this. Elijah worked quietly. He went about methodically. He was alone, and he worked all day. He didn't do any of this dancing and cutting themselves with spears and swords, in the hope that God, looking at their sacrifice, would do something. He didn't do that at all. He just went very carefully about one particular job first. And the first job was to get the wood and the hay and the stubble as the basis of the fuel on the altar which was going to burn. That was his job. And then the second thing was that he prepared his altar in such a way that the altar was separate from everything else. It was holy and devoted to the Lord by this moat of water around it. That is, he had an altar in which he was going to sacrifice to God. Now you think this. When we were young, and when I came to the Lord as a young man, it was considered to be the absolutely normal thing in every Christian household to have a family altar. Now, I don't mean, you know, a table with a cross on it. I mean that they had a family altar. Before they go out in the morning, the family would sit down for breakfast and read the Word of God.
And then they'd all have a word of prayer. And then they go out. And they call that the family altar. The reading of the word of God, talking to one another about problems, and taking time to keep this altar holy is the same thing as putting a trench around about it. Now, one of the things that modern society has done is effectively not only kill the family, people live in one house, but they scarcely talk to one another about anything important. They don't have a family altar. Now, one of the things that Elijah was after was to show that a family altar must be protected at all costs, and he protected it by this water round about it, a moat, like the old castles in Europe are protected by the same method. Now, that's one of the things which is absolutely essential for an effective life, an effective family. It's far more effective on a man-to-man basis, you know, than coming to church. Now, I'm glad people go to church, because you do go to church here. But they don't in Europe. But then you see, we've also not only lost the churches, we've also lost the family altar. The family altar's gone. Now, listen, this is the next point that I'm going to do. It'll have to be practically my last one, because one doesn't have time to go into these Bible studies, except in 3 or 4 hours at a time, you know, and I can't do that this morning. What he did, Elijah next, was that he collected this wood, hay, and stubble to put on the altar. And then he laid the sacrifice over on it, over and above this wood, hay, and stubble. Now, what does that mean? It says in the Corinthian letter, which I read out to you, 1 Corinthians 3, that every man or every woman who is in Christ has a foundation to build on, and that foundation is Christ. He is the cornerstone of those who love him, isn't he? If you haven't got that cornerstone, then you won't understand very much of what I'm now going to say. But if you have that cornerstone, and make sure you do, then you will understand. Now, it says that we can build gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, in the scriptures, those are good Christian works according to the Holy Scriptures. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Those things that will not be burnt up by fire. Or it says, we can build wood, hay, and stubble. You can do both. And the carnal Christian is the Christian who makes a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. And the spiritual Christian is the one who is tending to make more, I say tending towards, making more gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, when you'd gone around with great effort, hard work in this sun, that old man alone, gathering up the wood and putting it in bundles and laying it on the altar. Gathering up the wood, laying it in bundles and putting it on the altar. You think what he was doing? He was laying on the altar fuel for God's fire. Fuel. Now you see, if we build in our life wood, hay, and stubble, when we stand before Christ, that's going to be burnt up. It will. And when those works, wood, hay, and stubble are burnt up, it says, we shall be saved as though by fire. Now, I know a lot that I've done will be burnt up in that day because it's wood, hay, and stubble. And Christ's fire is going to do that when I stand before Christ. And I shall be saved as though by fire. I'll suffer loss because the works that I've done don't stand the fire of God. But think of this, and this is the great point I want to give you today. Think of this. Wood, hay, and stubble are the fuel for God's fire. You ever thought of that? God could have sent the fire down from heaven, But he must have something to sustain the fire. You must supply fuel for your fire if you're going to sustain a fire. What you do is this. You go around like the poor old prophet in the heat of the day, and you find out the wood, the hay, and the stubble in your life. Now, there's a long list of them, wood, hay, and stubble, in the Galatian letter, chapter 5, just after verse 22. And it talks about unfaithfulness, untruthfulness, uncleanness, unreliability, uncleanness in sexual matters, unrighteousness in financial matters. Read the whole list through. I haven't time to read it this morning. It's in Galatians chapter 5. Read it through. Now, those are wood, hay, and stubble. Those works of the flesh are classified in the Corinthian letter as wood, hay, and stubble. Now, if I go into my life and I lay the wood, hay, and stubble of today and of yesterday as I remember it on that altar, the Holy Spirit will make it wet. It's like a wet blanket, isn't it, to think of all those things? It is. When I think of all those things that I've done, it is like a wet blanket. But that's all right. If the Spirit of God has something to consume, and my spirit is a consuming fire, he says, if he finds that you've come into your altar at home, in the quietness of your home, and you've placed that lie, that uncleanness, that lasciviousness, all those things which are wood, hay, and stubble, if you place those on the altar, then God will burn it. And you know, when you burn anything, that produces heat and light, doesn't it? The Pharisees, you see, came all the time to God and said, I thank thee that I'm not like these other publicans. I give my tithe. Now, okay, that's a good work. That's gold, silver, and precious stones. I take care of other people. Okay, that's a good thing. Putting that on the altar doesn't burn very well. You see, God expects that from us, and that spirit work that we do that. But he does expect of us that we supply the Spirit of God fuel which it can burn, which he can burn. And when you place every day of your life wood, hay, and stubble, read the list out when you get home in Galatians chapter 5. When you place those in little bundles, as you think of them, on that altar of God, every day, God sends the fire and burns it, but that's not the end of it, that's the beginning. Because if you burn wood, hay, and stubble, you get light and warmth. Now, you all know what a campfire is like, don't you? It's lovely and cozy. When we do our student seminars in Europe, what we always do is have a campfire. No, in the evenings, when we've done all the hard work during the day, we go and sit round a campfire and roast sausages and things like that. And you know, all the coziness of a campfire is wonderful, isn't it? Now, if you Christians, me included, regularly take care to tend God's altar by searching out in the attics of your life and my life those things which are wood, hay, and stubble, and methodically and quietly place those on the altar of God, then you will be warm. The reason why the Pharisees were as cold as ice and turned everybody away was they were always offering God gold, silver, and precious stones on the altar. It won't burn very well. Doesn't need it, because they can resist fire. But the other things, you know, our wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burnt anyway. We can either wait until the day of judgment, when we stand before the throne of God, and then he'll burn it for us. But we're in eternity then, and we can't profit from it. But if we do it today by this methodical work about tending the altar of God, The wood, hay, and stubble there every day. Then even though it sounds like a wet blanket and plenty of water on it, it'll burn. And the man who does that is not only a warm person, he attracts other people to Christ because he's not a Pharisee, but he's also a person who shines. And the person who shines gets his shining mostly from burning wood, hay, and stubble. God will send the light, God will send the fire, God will send the warmth, but you've got to do the work and bundle all these things up and be methodical in your Christian life and say, now look, that is not to God's honor that I'm unthankful. That is not to God's honor that I don't always speak the truth as it should be spoken. That is not to God's honor that I'm too easygoing with the opposite sex. The opposite sex should be untouchable outside the marital state. If that's the case, good friends, you'll be like a lighthouse. You'll have a lot of light, and you'll be like a campfire, attractive to other people. That's where it's done, at the altar of God, which has to be tended every day. So remember Elijah's prayer, and remember his work, and the two together brought the nation back out of the apostate state, and they came back to be useful to God afterwards. We pray together. We ask the Lord Jesus to help us, help me to be methodical in these things and quiet, that we don't neglect the altar, thy altar, in our private lives, in our homes, but that thine altar is protected by the trench round about it, that nobody can cause its desecration, that we do have our quiet times where we feed the fire of God by putting on it the wood, hay, and stubble that we do. So we ask thee, Lord Jesus, that our hearts might burn for thee and our faces might shine for thee, because we tend thy altar, that thus thou canst answer our prayers in a way that all people must say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen.